What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Stuck in traffic and need to vent? Dial the Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
All right, Football Friday version of The Crowd as we hit you with the top story. BT and Sal back for these calls as well in a moment. Sal, I would love to say that this season for the Giants is about the playoffs and, you know, catching the Dallas Cowboys and the Philadelphia Eagles in the East and the Niners and the Packers and some of the other better teams in the NFC. To me, it's not about that. I mean, the Giants obviously have a projected low win total for a reason. Doesn't mean they can't overachieve like they did in 2022. That's not my focus, though. See, I look at the Giants and I say, all right, and the Daniel Jones stuff has been dissected. We know the deal, the contract, what he's done, what he hasn't. So I'm not even wasting a lot of energy on Jones. I hope he plays well. I hope he stays healthy. But eventually he's going to be gone. That I know. What I don't know is the future of the general manager and the head coach. I'm not saying they're going to be gone, you know,
right,
if they don't make the playoffs this year. I'm not saying that at all. But there are some warning signs I think a lot of you are ignoring. They're 9-17-1 in their last 27 games. It's not good. The last nine times they played Dallas and Philly, they've gotten waxed every time. They've won once, okay? And one of the excuses, which has been dropped a lot around here, is the Gettleman-Blaine game. That's expired. There's seven or eight players on the 2024 Giants roster that Gettleman brought in, so there's no real influence there. And, oh, yeah, by the way, if two of those seven or eight weren't brought in by Gettleman, this might be a top three team in terms of the draft because one is Andrew Thomas and the other is Dexter Lawrence. So I put Shane a little separately here. Dable, to me, has got to fix some stuff, and he very well may be in the process of doing that. But no more wink drama. All right, well, that was a problem. That was a lot of Wink's fault as well. A little too big for his britches. Guess what? He's gone. So now you got rid of that fire. Don't have another issue with your DC. There was some other unrest and tension within the coaching ranks last year. That's a fact. Don't let it happen again. Kafka with the play calling. All right, you're assuming the reins this year. Show us that fertile offensive mind that many of us believe that you have. I like Dable. I like Shane. I don't think that they're as secure as some people think that they are, especially with Belichick lingering.
Yeah, see, so there's a couple of things here. Number one, I do think they're secure. I would be shocked. I don't care if the Giants win three games this year. I'd be shocked if they made a change at the end of the year. I believe that they're going to keep both Shane and Dable, I believe that they should, at least for a couple more years. It's just unique, BT, because what you have here, and I also don't think Belichick's going to be with the Giants. I think Belichick is going to go with the Cowboys. It's unique in that we're in year three. I believe in the head coach. Okay, I've seen enough to believe that Brian Dable is legit and is going to be a great head coach in this league. I'm still unsure about Joe Shane. We've seen some good. We've seen some bad. Year three, maybe more of an imprint for him on this team. The unique thing is that usually it's in, you know, they're in lockstep. General manager, head coach, new quarterback when you come in.
Mm-hmm.
With the Giants, yes, you have the new general manager and new head coach, but I believe in the coach, and I believe you've seen the reasons why you believe. You saw what Dable did with an under-talented team in the first year getting into the playoffs, even last year riding the ship. And you could argue that what he did last year, digging this team out of the abyss, riding the ship and making it a respectable finish of the season, was more impressive than getting to the playoffs the year before. So 2 years in a row, I've seen some good signs from Brian Dable where I'm still unsure about Joe Shane. But they also have the quarterback that's been a holdover. So we're evaluating a head coach, general manager combo with a quarterback that's been a holdover. He's going into year six, and they're going into year three together. So that's why it's a weird thing where you're evaluating almost each individual separately here as opposed to together in one bunch. And look, I know what happens in sports. You know, you can reference Joe Douglas and Robert Saleh and Zach Wilson, where, you know, Joe Douglas and Saleh still here, Zach is still out, Douglas, you know, missed on certain picks, whatever it may be.
Yeah.
With Shane, I feel like, to me, I'm evaluating him more this year than anybody else. I believe I know what Dable is, and I think that's a good thing. I know what Daniel Jones is. I don't think that's a very good thing. I don't know how good Joe Shane is at building a roster, but I do think this year the Giants are going to exceed expectations and do think it's a big-time evaluation year, although not to the extent of them being in any kind of danger with their job.
Well, it's good stuff. I mean, we see it a little differently here. I don't think anybody thinks the Giants go out and win 12 games. I mean, that's an incredible overachievement. You never know. Schedule is tough. This week is, you know, one of the softer landing spots. I think Darnold's a little bit better than you do.
Right.
Without overstating it. I think he's capable of you know, making some plays against that Giants secondary where they put up a few points and the Giants got to be buttoned up. Giants got to win the game. But bigger picture, I want to state this because I don't want it to be confused with, you know, I don't want to cross the wires with something this important. I said what I said about Dable. I mean it. But if they go, say it like worst case, 5-12,
yeah,
6-11, which would be an ugly season. As long as they're buttoned up and they compete and the young kids are showing some progress, which also would reflect well on Shane, to Sal's point, which is a good one, I got no problem. I'm not getting on the air at the end of the season saying that Dable should be fired. That's not my point.
Right.
My point is the other stuff, which is, toxic might be a little strong from last year, but it's in the neighborhood of toxicity.
Well, I mean, it was a thing where Dable had to turn it down. You know, what I think is his greatest strength, it could also become a weakness. You got to make sure you corral it,
mm-hmm,
and harness that, and you that passion, that fire, and use it in the right ways. Now, he's been accountable. He's been open. He knows he's a hothead at times. He's passionate. He just wants to win. But there's a way that, you know, especially with the coaches, the way you got to talk to these guys,
yep,
players too, and maybe he's learning that balance. We've seen it with other guys. Coughlin had to adjust his ways, so maybe Dable's got to turn it down a notch. I still want him to be himself, and I believe that himself is going to be a very, very good, if not great, head football coach here. But yeah, I mean, it's going to be evaluation. I just don't think to the point of where either of these two guys are going to be, their job will be in peril, regardless of what the Giants' record is.
All right, let's get back to you guys here. It's BT and Sal, Brandon, Tierney, Sal, the Cotter Show. It is awesome being here on a Football Friday.
Yeah,
I mean, you just feel it.
Get the picks coming up later.
Oh, we got the picks. We're going to start getting a sweat going a little bit.
Yeah.
Nick next, as you said. Nick Costos
coming
buddy
up in a little bit. We get the Perfect Parlay picks. I can't wait to hear that Mr. Perfect Parlay music.
Oh, the music. It feels right. 888-808-1019. Let's get back to you in the meantime. Adam's Oceanside. What up, Adam? How are you?
Hey, fellas, great stuff this morning. It's cloudy. You got that fall feel going on. You guys are doing a great job.
Thank you.
So, Sal, I'm inclined to more agree with you here. And, BT, I don't understand why you're even hinting at warning lights going on. And just give me a second here.
Okay.
Teams that you consider stable franchises in the NFL, who are they?
Well, the Steelers obviously jump at the Niners recently. The Bills are pretty stable, although if they don't win this year, right, they can make a change. But yeah, there's a couple, sure. Ravens.
Right. So what of those teams for the most part have in common?
Well, I know you want me to say head coach and GM continuity, and you're not wrong, but really the answer is great quarterback play. That's where it starts.
They have both.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So you sort of kind of got to have both. And I'm not sure, chicken egg, right? So, like, if Daniel Jones was some great quarterback, would you even be having this narrative this morning? Yeah. I'm going to say probably not. So, by the same token...
Well, hold on, right? Adam. I got to stop you for one sec, Adam. I have to, because I can't miss this point. I hear you. If Daniel Jones was a stud, it would feel better, both last year and going into this year. But there's a lot of teams out there that don't have stud quarterbacks that don't have an inner fracture or didn't have an inner fracture that the Giants had a year ago.
Well, the Steelers are one of them. You mentioned the Steelers and their stability. They don't have a great quarterback. Since Roethlisberger retired, they don't have a great quarterback.
Yep.
Yet they're over 500 every single year. But the big difference is this regime did not bring in this quarterback. That's what's hard to decipher, or not really hard to decipher.
Reconcile.
Well, Normally, we evaluate general manager head coach combination based on the quarterback that they draft and how they develop him.
Mm-hmm.
That's just how it is. Obviously, there's more to it, but that's the biggest part. General manager, head coach, okay, what quarterback are you bringing in, drafting slash developing him? With this regime, it's already going into year three with a holdover quarterback who has been inconsistent his entire career.
Yep.
So am I supposed to, or are we supposed to evaluate Shane and Dable based on Daniel Jones? Or are we just waiting for what we feel is inevitable? And when I say we, the majority, inevitable, the transition from Daniel Jones, which I wanted to happen 2 years ago when they first took over, which should have happened sooner, but here we are. It's going to be 6 years of Daniel Jones, potentially now after this year. Maybe then they finally transition. So I what do? Do we evaluate Shannon Dable as Daniel Jones, their guy?
No. What you do is you've got to put in the...
But they did pick him in a certain way.
With the extension.
Sticking with them, yeah.
Yeah, you've got to insert the context of, and this is, it's almost unfair to those men, but they are, on some scale, being judged by their first year of overachievement.
Correct. No, That's the other part of it.
That makes it a little tough to decipher exactly who they are. Now, I'm with you. I believe that Dable is a coaching asset.
Right.
I don't know yet about Shane. I don't, because Evan Neal is a complete stiff, and Thibodeau's good, and
yeah.
I think Neighbor's going to be a stud, and some other, signing, and some other things they've done that have worked out, both positively and negatively. Love the Burns trade. But to me, it's not about the record. It's not about what Daniel Jones does this year. It's about, is there cohesion? It needs to be a cohesive building. It wasn't one last year. Everybody's kind of ignoring this.
Because I think Wink was the problem. I really believe that.
Well, if you're right, and you might be right, and when a coordinator tries to overstep and usurp the coach, then that's a problem.
Yeah.
And I'll have Dable's back there. But now there's no excuses. Wink's gone.
Right.
That's why when I say it can't happen again.
I know.
Because then it's not a Wink thing. Then it's a Dable thing.
Right. I understand that.
That's all I'm saying.
I say that it's more about evaluating Joe Shane and the pieces that he's brought in to see if he could give his head coach some more talent to work with to close the gap between the Eagles, Cowboys, and Giants.
There you go. Hey, we're inside of our Town Fair Tire studio. Friends at Town Fair remind you that you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Sal also threw me some of those Dominguez, that report with Cashman.
Yeah.
I know Dylan wanted to pop in on that. Dylan, what's up?
BT, Sal, huge fan, guys. First time.
First time. Nice. There you go. Thank you.
Just want to ask you guys a question with the Verdugo-Dominguez stuff, because it's driving me insane that this guy's hitting almost 400 lately in the minors, and we have an absolute stick out in left field. I mean, there's no other way to put it at this point.
Well, but what do you want to ask us? We all know that. Yeah. I'm not trying to be a jerk. We know that.
No. So what I was going to ask you is, do you guys think, obviously we all know Aaron Judge, Verdugo, really good friends. Do you think this has anything to do with it, or what are your guys' thoughts on that?
I mean, are they really good friends? Like boys, because they jump into each other's arms with Soto after the final out? I mean, I know that Rizzo and Judge are boys, like real, real off-the-field friends.
Yeah, I've been seeing on Twitter like that Judge was one really pushing for Verdugo to come in, that they kind of hit it off when he came in. And if that's the case, mm-hmm. then we gotta start evaluating Judge from a leader standpoint.
That's not fair.
I mean, come on. And now, look, I also say you can't build a ball club just for friends. You're not going to sign Rizzo because he's friends with Judge. You're not going to extend Gleyber Torres because you want to hope that Soto's...
Well, they did extend Rizzo because of his friendship with Judge.
Well, I mean, beyond this year.
They already did.
But they also thought that Rizzo's going to be their best option at first base, which, look, I'm talking about you could bring Gleyber Torres back because he's buddies with Soto and hopes to lure Soto. Like, it's ridiculous. You're going to ride with Verdugo because he's friends with Judge. I hope that they're not making decisions based on that. I don't believe they're making decisions based on that, so I don't think that has anything to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
But the point is, Verdugo has not been performing for a long time, and yet the GM, this is something that we talked about, was it yesterday or the day before, BT, where we're saying the Yankees act like, it seems like they don't care enough. And you have the general manager saying, like, to a point where I'm like, maybe they don't care about winning the division. Just play this out, see what happens, get to the postseason, then make the changes that they feel necessary. But to a point where you even wonder if either they care or they're just foolish to not realize the reality of the situation. How could the Yankees? Cashman said this. I'm not making this up. I'm not assuming. Cashman said today they believe Verdugo gives them the best chance to win. That's why he's here and Dominguez is not. Now, what are you basing that off of exactly?
Is it just is it defense? Because he is a good left fielder. I mean, just trying to be fair. I don't agree with it.
Well, there's got to be some reason because the Yankees aren't stupid. We can mock them and joke all we want. They're not. I mean, they don't make every right decision.
Nobody does.
Okay, right. But they know what they're doing. So what is the logical reason that they believe that that Verdugo gives them a better chance to win now? And why aren't I seeing it?
I don't have an answer either. I mean, the one thing, well, I mean, keep in mind, Sal, two of the last 3 months, he's had an OPS under six. Not under seven.
That's why I think it's
under
more.
Six.
We all see what, we know what Verdugo was and could be, but we all see what he's been.
Yep.
Maybe it's something more about Dominguez that they don't feel like he's ready. See, I think that's where Yankee fans are getting too nuts. Oh, Dominguez, like he's going to be some savior because he went nuts for the eight games he was here. Obviously, the ninth game this year, he was 0-for-4, whatever, with the strikeouts.
Yep.
So maybe, you know, fans do this all the time. Spencer Jones, whoever, all these guys, you know, Beatty and Alvarez. You always overhype these prospects and you get so excited that what they're doing in the minors or AAA is going to translate right away. Doesn't work like that. So maybe that's the part of it that they're not saying and trying to protect Dominguez, who they don't think is ready.
He has not played a lot of baseball. I mean, let's face it. Right. I mean, I think you start there.
Not to mention, he's been hurt half the year in the minors.
2 years in a row.
Right.
You know, the oblique this year and obviously the arm a year ago. I mean, the only thing that, you know, he's their top prospect, so you start with that. All right. It just doesn't add up. He's their top prospect. Granted, small sample with the big league team. He looked amazing. And every stop this year in the minors, he's been a stud. So it's one thing if he was their top prospect and they gave him a look here and he hit 131 and was overmatched. It was the opposite. He looked like a superstar. Granted, small sample.
Right.
Or he was their top prospect and he had nine games last year, did amazing. And then in 60 games in the minors this year, he was hitting 209. And you couldn't justify the elevation. He's checked every box. He's their top prospect. He was great last year here for a minute. And he's been awesome this year in the minors.
Right.
And their current left fielder stinks. And the whole team's not playing well.
Right. Maybe he could provide a jolt. Like, it all adds up to thinking that, hey, we need to fire this salvo and see if it works, as opposed to the GM coming out knowing everything that you just said and seeing everything that we've seen for 3 months with his team over the last 81 games is 40-41, saying, we believe Verdugo gives us the best chance to win.
Doesn't that...
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It does not, but I mean, it's eventually they're going to have to flinch unless Verdugo goes on a heater.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
21 of the last 22 times they scored. Here's Sims to throw in third down. Up the middle, touchdown, Bavaro. Mark Bavaro goes to one knee. Genuflex in prayer as a 13-yard throw over the middle answers the prayer for the Giants fan.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
I'm going to need this to start sounding a whole lot better on Monday. Big weekend for the Yankees coming up out in Chicago. Hey, it's Jersey Mike's Yankees box office blitz, and we've got a pair of field-level tickets as the regular season winds down in the Bronx as the Bombers take on Kansas City. And those Royals are feisty, man, over at the stadium Wednesday, September 11th. Right now, we'll do call the number 10 at 866-540-WFAN, 866-540-9326. Your chance to win is all from Jersey Mike's, the official sub-sandwich shop of the New York Yankees box office blitz and The Fan. And, you know, listen, I said this out before. We're going to get back into football here and hook up with our buddy Nick Costos in a moment. But it was a big weekend for the Yankees. I think it's the biggest weekend of the season. The standings are obviously paramount. You've got Luis Gil coming back. You've got Clark Schmidt coming back. They're going back to back. And then Garrett Cole's pitching on Sunday. So you got to start cranking out some wins here. Mix, you know, that race with Baltimore. Obviously, Yankees are bleeding out a little bit here as they reassert their belief for some reason in Verdugo. Judge hasn't done a thing since that Paw Patrol commercial or cartoon dropped. Soto's been a little all over the map. They got to start winning. All right, BT and Sal here on The Fan. I'm looking forward to this. Now, last year we did it. You guys have known each other for a long time. And our buddy Nick Costos will be with us all football season. And he's got a show, by the way, the Nick Costos Sunday Show from 8 to 9 here on The Fan. And he's the host of You Better You Bet, Odyssey Sports Betting Insider, Nick Costos. And he is now a father. So it's a little tough to juggle those parlays with screaming and dirty diapers, huh, Nick? What's going on, buddy?
Hey, Greg, great to be back on with you guys. And today, and I appreciate you saying that. Thank you very much. Today is my daughter Colette's four-month birthday.
She's nice.
4 months ago today on May 6th. And I got to celebrate my daughter's four-month birthday anniversary, whatever, by waking up in beautiful, sunny Las Vegas, Nevada, where I am through Monday doing shows. Maybe wish I was home, but great to be here in Vegas and great to be on with you guys. I appreciate that.
And that's awesome. And by the way, your buddy Sal, who, again, you guys known each other, what, since the Sirius Newsroom back in the day?
I would say at least 2004. Yeah, exactly. 20 years.
It's crazy. 20 years. I've known you basically for a year or so, having you on the show. And I'm like, wait, Nick became a dad, right? I was talking to Sal before the break and before we came back. He's like, yeah, I'm like, it was fairly recent. He's like, yeah, about a year or so. He didn't even know.
No,
so
I said under a year.
Like, about a year. He didn't even know, Nick.
He said under a year.
What do you mean?
Said a year. 4 months. I was right on point.
I mean, to be fair, Sal's got bigger fish to fry, like the 2024 New York Mets. So I totally understand. I give my friend Sal Licata a mulligan for this one. No problem.
Let me just say, before we get to the games here or whatever, congrats on the show on The Fan. I know how much that means to you, you know, on Sunday doing that hour. And nobody is as good as Nick at what he does. He is the best in the world at the handicapping and making the picks and entertaining. What do you call wagertainment? Nobody.
Wagertainment.
There you go. Nobody is as good as Nick Costos as that, and we love having y'all on the show, of course, every single weekend. And we got off to a good start last night with the Thursday night game, having the Chiefs. What do you like tonight? Before we get into the slate on Sunday or the Jets and Giants specifically, I'm curious your opinion on tonight's game in Brazil between the Packers and the Eagles.
Yeah, so I think, Sal, we have to approach this game kind of with like a little bit of a grain of salt, just because, like you said, it's being played in Sao Paulo, Brazil. Like, it's like absolutely ridiculous on the opening Friday night of the season. So this is not going to function as a normal game, at least beforehand. And look, maybe the game starts and it looks completely like a normal game, but I don't know how this is going to go. Like, I don't know how to handicap something like this with the game being in Brazil. So as far as the side of the game goes, Philly is favored by less than 3. Which I think is fine. I think Philly's probably a little better than Green Bay coming into the year. So no issues with them being a small favorite on a neutral field. So I think that's fine. Make me pick the winner of the game. I'll take Philly slightly. But the bet that I will make, just because I want to have action and I'll be at the sportsbook tonight in Vegas, I'll bet the over of the game. And we're sitting probably around about 49. I love both of these offenses. Like, absolutely love both offenses coming into the year. I think we get a big-time bounce back for Jalen Hurts and the Eagles offense with our guy Saquon Barkley now there, and I think he's going to have a big season. It'll make Giants fans upset, whatever, with Kellen Moore now running the offense. And then Jordan Love and these Green Bay Packers, like young receivers, Matt LaFleur, pulling the strings. I really, really like both of these offenses. Now, one thing to watch out for tonight, and this is something that's a little in the weeds, right, is how the game is going to be officiated. Because we saw last night Ronnie Stanley for the Baltimore Ravens get called for like 19 illegal formation penalties. And we have seen Lane Johnson, like the Eagles, like maybe like future first ballot Hall of Fame offensive tackle. He's the king of this when he starts like half a second before the ball is snapped. And that has not been called a penalty in the past. Like, Sean Hockley and company, like, made it a point last night to throw a billion flags on that exact play. So I'm curious if that's going to get officiated tonight and the Eagles will get penalized a bunch. Just something to keep in mind as the game is going on if people want to live bet it. If that's something that's going to be a thing, Lane Johnson goes early on almost every play. Giants fans know this, and I'm curious if that's going to get flagged this season.
Well, I definitely want to get some Jets and Giants stuff on the board, but let everybody know, of course, it's our buddy Nick Costos, and he's the host of You Better You Bet, Odyssey Sports Betting Insider. Insider calls brought to you by BetMGM. Go check out all the latest lines today on the BetMGM app. Also, make sure you guys download and check out the You Better You Bet pod for more analysis. Just search You Better You Bet wherever you find your pod. So, I love the futures market. It's always fun. Yeah, you pick 4 or 5 teams you think are going to be really good. You ride the over. You take a couple teams you think are going to stink. You ride the under. But you have to do it now because the season started. So, is there a team or two that you have a contrary opinion to positively or negatively, just against the general consensus, where you would put a pretty good amount of coin either under or over win totals. Any teams jump out to you?
We want to save, like, the New York teams, right?
So yeah, save them. Yep.
Okay. The one that I like the most, and I will give you an under, like everyone in content likes to give overs. I'll give an under here, and I will support this take by betting against this team coming up on Sunday. And it is the chic team, the sexy team, coming into the season. And the team, actually, that had the inferior Hard Knocks. The Giants might be terrible this year, but that Hard Knocks was really good. Also, Brian Daboll, take your feet off the desk, you slob. I didn't like that from my coach. Yeah, like, he's literally sitting in the room with John Mara with his feet up like he's 13 years old. Like, grow up, coach. The team I'm talking about is the Chicago Bears. Now, I think Caleb Williams is going to be awesome. This is not an anti-Caleb Williams thing. I love Roma Dunze. I love DJ Moore. I like Montez Sweat. I like some of the members of the secondary. But I think the thing that everyone has forgotten in all the Caleb Williams hoopla, and I would encourage you guys, like, think about this, and people listening, we're all NFL fans, right? It wasn't that long ago, this calendar year, 2024, that all of us thought that Matt Eberflus, as I call him, Matt Eberflus, you know, because he loses games, that he was a terrible head coach, a brutal as a head coach. They finished the season, like pretty well, to be fair, and he ends up coming back for a third season, which is going to prove to be a monumental mistake. Because, like, you needed to start fresh with a rookie quarterback with an offensive-minded head coach. Instead, here's Matt Eberflus back for another season. And he got, like, oh, you know, he got this cool haircut and he grew this beard. Like, it's like Hannah Montana or something, where, like, the loser in class gets a cool haircut and now all of a sudden he starts getting straight A's. Like, this is real life. Like, sorry, got a cool haircut, still a bad coach. And it's just like the Bears are going to roll out of bed this year with a rookie quarterback and a bad coach, and they're going to go 9-8. Like, that's what the bet is, that they're going to finish above 500. I don't like this offensive line. I don't think they're going to have a pass rush besides for Montez Sweat. It is a rookie quarterback who did not handle the pressure last year at USC well after they lost games. How do you think the Chicago media is going to treat this situation? They're expecting him to come in and basically beat Jim McMahon immediately in Chicago. They lose this game on Sunday to the Tennessee Titans. I'm curious to see how all of this is going to play out. Give me the Bears under 8.5. Wins the season. Give me the Tennessee Titans plus the points on Sunday in Chicago.
Ooh, I love it. You actually sold me on the Bears. I'm with you on that. The hype train, they never live up to it. All right, Nick, let's get to the locals here. Start with the over-unders. Giants are 6.5, Jets 9.5. Where are you at with both those teams going into the year?
Unfortunately, as a big Giants fan, I just like, you can make a bull case for the Giants, I guess, which is that the defensive line's absolutely awesome. For what it's worth, and we can talk about this with the game on Sunday, I think Neighbors is absolutely going to be ridiculously awesome. I've drafted him in basically every fantasy league I've done. I think he's going to be great. But, I mean, the offensive line looks like it's going to be brutal again, and the quarterback's still Daniel Jones. So, like, someone make the case to me how, like, this team's going to be good this year. So maybe they could win 7 games. It's certainly possible. I don't have much of an interest in betting that win total for the Giants because they could go 7-10. Like, it's not impossible, but are they going to go 9-8, 10-7, 11-6? I think absolutely not. I think it's more likely that Drew Lock starts at the end of the season and Daniel Jones gets benched like Russell Wilson did last year for Denver because of the injury guarantees in Daniel Jones' contract, and they don't want to risk him getting hurt and having to pay him next season. So I think this is going to be a bad season for the Giants, and hopefully we start over next year with a new quarterback like we should have done this year. Now, so get the negative out of the way. Now we can do some positive. BT, I think this could be your year, buddy.
Oh, yeah. Boy. Talk to me, baby. Oh, boy. Let's go feed it. The veins are here. You know, feed it.
So, look, like, you play in the same conference as, like, maybe the greatest player ever. It's, like, kind of not fair. You're Brady, and now you have Mahomes. So, like, I don't know what happens if and when we get to January at a Jets-Chiefs. I don't know, like, how you bet against Patrick Mahomes. But if I were to bet against Patrick Mahomes with any team in this conference, it would absolutely be Aaron Rodgers and the New York Jets. There are not many teams that can come into the year and can actually say it is their ultimate upside to lift the Lombardi Trophy. The Jets are unquestionably one of those teams. A much improved offensive line. There can be no doubt about that. Rodgers stays healthy. He's going to be really good. Garrett Wilson is going to be in contention for Offensive Player of the Year. Breece Hall will be in contention for Offensive Player of the Year. And say what you want about Robert Saleh, and I think he's a brutal head coach. Doesn't matter. Rodgers is going to be the head coach of the team and the offensive coordinator. Let Bob Saleh just work on the defense where he's great and like the defense is going to be really good. Got to figure out the Reddick stuff as far as like the whole season is concerned. But man, like I think they're going to win the division. I think like 13 wins is in range for the Jets in the regular season this year. I think they can win the, like, I actually think, and I know BT, for all the Jets fans out there and for you, it's difficult to be optimistic.
No, it's not. No, Nick, I'm different. I'm different. I'm not a loser like most Jet fans.
Oh, jeez.
That's a nice shot at your own fan base. But I really think, like, as hard as it is for a lot of Jets fans to be optimistic, I think you have legitimate reason to be optimistic this year. Their ultimate upside, the ultimate upside for this team is to win the team's first Super Bowl since the winter of 1969.
This is Nick Costos, everybody.
This is too much is what this is.
It's true.
I know it is.
Is it because the defense, Nick? Because I do think that the defense is the one thing that can separate them in the AFC. I love Rodgers just as much as anybody else, and I do think the offense will be better, obviously. But will it be as good as Kansas City or Baltimore or Cincinnati or even Buffalo or Miami?
They're better than all those teams except for Kansas City.
The defense, to me, is what's going to separate the Jets in the AFC, potentially, if it is.
I would say that when you look at, like, quarterback, pass protection, offensive line, pass rush. I think the Jets, like the only teams that you can say are better than the Jets in the AFC are the Chiefs and the Houston Texans. Like Houston's, if I had to pick another team to maybe beat Kansas City, it would be Houston. It's never Baltimore. Like we've seen the Harbaugh Lamar Jackson movie a million times. We saw it last night. They had no business even being in that game at the end of the game. We have seen this play out with Josh Allen and Sean McDermott. I'll laugh my way through the rest of this segment if someone wants to say the Bills will beat the Chiefs. Absolutely not. The Dolphins' offensive line is a train wreck. The Bengals are coming into the season as a train wreck. They might lose to the Patriots on Sunday. It doesn't look like Jamar Chase or T. Higgins are going to play. Like, I want someone to tell me how the Jets are not like a top two or three team in this conference and say it with a straight face.
No, you're right. Nick, the only thing that you have to, and it's the hardest thing to do, is delete all the stuff from your memory bank pertaining to the Jets' hell. If you can do that, which I choose to do, what you just said is true.
Yeah, like this isn't going to be like past seasons here with the Jets. It's not going to be Sam Darnold. This is not going to be Adam Gase. Like Rich Kotite isn't walking through that door.
Yep.
Like Richard Todd's not going to be under center for the Jets. Like I really think I think it's going to be a magical season for them. Now, can I talk about the game on Monday night for a second?
Yep, go for it.
The Niners. Okay, so I've just said how much I like the Jets, and on balance, if I had to bet one at price, it's not even close. I would take the Jets over the Niners to put my money down to win the Super Bowl. I think the Niners have some issues, Super Bowl hangover. But it does not really look like an advantageous spot to bet the Jets coming up on Monday. So the Jets could lose on Monday night. Mm-hmm. It changed nothing about how I feel about the Jets this season. Like the Niners get Ayuk and Trent Williams back in the fold. And we have seen this play out over the course of a while here in the NFL. Like we haven't seen Rodgers basically since like RFK was still in the presidential race. And Brock Purdy and company played in the preseason. We see offenses where the quarterback and the first team offense doesn't play in the preseason can struggle early in games. And the Reddick situation hasn't been figured out yet. So I'm not saying the Jets are definitely going to lose on Monday.
Yep.
Just that for Jets fans, like if you lose on Monday, like at the defending NFC champions, I don't think this is like Chicken Little end of the world. So I love the Jets this year, but I'm not rushing to bet them to win this game on Monday.
We got to wrap it up. It's almost boring radio for me to sit here and say I agree, but I agree with that too. Like I don't necessarily think they'll do this more on Monday, but I don't necessarily think the Jets win. But then you look at week two with Tennessee, week three with the Pats, week four with Denver. There's a lot of early wins and a lot of talent. But
3-1 at worst.
Yeah.
3-1 at worst after four.
I don't disagree.
Real quick, you don't have to go into a long thing. I just want to know your take on the Giants game, specifically Sunday. You like the Giants here to win this game against Minnesota, or are you worried about Sam Darnold?
I'm not worried about Darnold. I'm worried about my quarterback being really terrible. And like the fact that Adoree Jackson just got signed off the scrap heap. Yeah, that bodes well against Justin Jefferson. We'll see how that goes. Like I think like flip of the coin who wins the game, but I will tell you, I'll talk about this more on Sunday morning. Malik Nabers is being priced at, and the number's gone up. It should. I think it's like 62.5 receiving yards. Okay. The Vikings just signed Stephon Gilmore off, like basically off his couch. Like Nabers will run circles around Gilmore on the secondary. And Nabers' reception prop in this game is 5.5, and it's juiced under. Malik Nabers is going to have 6 catches in this game by halftime. So that's how I'm looking to play this game. Give me all the Malik Nabers in this game and this season for the Giants.
Nice. He is going to be an absolute beast. Hey, Nick, congrats again. Fatherhood, 4 months. So while your wife is putting candles on the cupcake, you'll be out there seeing if that reverse hits back door. And it's the way it should be. Have fun on Sunday as well. 8 to 9 here on The Fan. Nick Kostos, The Sunday Show. Hey, great stuff. We're going to have an awesome year together. Happy you're back, bud.
I appreciate it. And I'm just happy football's back so I can stop paying attention to the horrendous New York Yankees. Wishing you guys and all the great listeners minimal sweats, winning bets, the absolute very best of luck. I'll talk to everyone on The Fan coming up 8 a.m. Sunday morning.
We're waiting for that minimal sweats tag. There he is, Nick Kostos. He's the best. That was the host of You Better, You Bet, Odyssey Sports Betting Insider, Nick Kostos. So calls brought to you by BetMGM. 888-808-1019. Again, Nick will be with us every Friday during the football season. Energy. He's going to win you some money. And he's, you know, he's still a big Yankee fan, still a big Giant. Keeps it real, which is what you need. He fits in. I love that we have him on our show.
Start some trouble and call The Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
Oh, man, you smell that little barbecue going, a little tailgate. You wake up, get the hoodie, get the Tuck jersey, get the Tiki jersey, get the Eli jerseys, get the number 56s, stray hands. Football Friday on The Fan, and we want to get to the game. Give it away tickets to see the G-Men take on Minnesota on Sunday, this Sunday, September 8th at MetLife. Call their number 10 right now, 866-540-WFAN. That's 866-540-9326. To me, there is nothing like pulling into, you know, I used to do it more at the Meadowlands, admittedly, than I do at MetLife, just, you know, life and circumstances, whatever. But, you know, I would go into those Jet games for 3 years when I had season tickets. Just the smell early, just cracking a beer at like 9 in the morning. It's just the best.
I know.
Getting the bets in.
I'm not going to do the Sundays, or at least not yet. I'm looking forward to going out there to MetLife. I'm going to do the Jets Thursday night game, Giants Thursday night game. But you're right, the football Sunday, even just waking up. I used to love living in the city, waking up and just that fall weather.
Oh,
going
to
the supermarket, get my food for the day, or going out to the bar. I was never a person who would go out to watch the games.
Neither was I, except for a year or two when I lived in Manhattan. I used to do it a lot.
And then it was like my favorite thing ever.
Yeah, I'd get there like so many hours before. I'd have a Bloody Mary and I had the Daily News and the Post and I'd be going through the lines
and making my calls. The bars, the quiet before, you know, the calm before the storm on a Sunday morning at a bar, getting there early to get your seat, the spot for the TV, the first beer, the first apps. And then before you know it, it's like, oh my God, it's 7:30 and we're ready for the Sunday night game. The bar's kind of emptied out. Yeah. Everybody's got work the next day.
And you're chasing.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you remember the bar that you used to go to?
Yes, George Kelly's on the Upper West Side.
I used to live on the Upper West Side. I believe it was Soldier McGee's on the corner, like on Amsterdam in like 82nd, maybe, something like that?
I've done a couple, but the main one was Keeley's. I used to do Blondie's as well.
Blondie's, absolutely.
Then there's one in Midtown. Lansdowne in Midtown.
I didn't hang out there, but I know that part.
And then on the Upper West, where Keeley's was on Amsterdam, there's all those bars right there. So, you know, you go for the 1 o'clock, you see things start to clean out a little bit, you go to another bar for the 4 o'clock.
Here we are. It is back.
And I'm getting divorced and going back to the city, baby. I miss those days.
Easy, big boy.
I'm sorry.
Easy,
are we on the air? Just delete that.
Easy, delete that. So, you know, last year obviously wasn't pretty. I was looking back at some of the last week one results for the Giants, and, you know, that Dallas obviously scraped them. The year before that, that was a fun win. That was down in Tennessee. Giants won 21-20. Before that, Denver won 27. This is week one Giants. 27-13 Denver, 26-15 Steelers, Dallas 35, Giants 17. Couple of more losses after that. So the Giants, and it's not a coincidence, Giants haven't been very good for a while. So usually, you know, bad teams or average teams lose a lot of opening weeks. Giants, outside of 2 years ago, have not had a lot of recent success. Hopefully that changes this year. Now, outside of the Jets and the Giants for a moment, I'm pumped for tonight's game. One of those two teams can be in the conference championship game. Both teams can be in the conference championship game. I hope I can find the game. And I hate that it's not on the United States soil. I don't know what you want me to say.
It's on Peacock. Yeah, so that's going to be an issue there. I have to actually sign up for it. It's annoying. You know what the other thing is? Seriously, I don't like that it's in Brazil, but I really don't care about that.
I do.
I don't like that it's on Peacock, but I really don't care about that.
I do.
A Friday night game. Think about this. We just had the Thursday night game. It's Friday night. Now you have another game. And then you're going to be all Sunday and then Monday. Like, for now, 20-year-old Sal, single Sal in the city?
Yep.
Sure, sign me up. Adults, those of us who are adults with lives and families, like, come on, dude.
Well, you're not going to put the game on? If you can find it, you can. Wait, what are you doing tonight? You're going to have three surf sides watching the game.
I've seen my wife or kid all week long. I've seen my daughter 5 minutes a morning before she goes to school and before I go to work.
Yeah.
Actually, she'll probably be sleeping tonight, so she's out of the equation. But I haven't even seen my wife. And truth be told, like, you know, I do kind of miss her a little bit.
I know you do.
I'm going to go home and watch football, knowing that Sunday, wall to wall, like, I'd sacrifice tonight. And by the way, I like tonight. I want to bet tonight's game.
It's a fun game, boy, on paper.
But I'll sacrifice a Friday night for all day Sunday and Monday night.
Well, you're going to have to sack it up, and you're going to have to suck it up. Now, if this was every if this was every Friday, you know, like the Jets and the Dolphins, the Black Friday game, like, that's going to be there, you know, forever, I would think, or at least for a while moving forward. I think this is just, you know, start to the season, Thursday, Friday. It's not going to be every Friday.
Right, I know.
So, it's just once. I'm actually looking forward to it tonight, if I can find it.
Right.
I don't know that we have it anymore.
Well, you just sign up for it. It's like $5.
That's a different. I refuse to do it. I have Amazon. I got all the other stuff. I got Netflix. But I'm not just signing up. Like, what does Peacock have? Soccer? I don't watch soccer.
WWE Network, the old school stuff. We like that.
I go to YouTube for it.
Yeah. Do they have the full things on there?
Yeah, they got. I find something. Usually, like, you know, if I'm DVRing the Yanks and the Mets and the kids are taking showers and baths and it's after practice and we all ate and whatever, but, and like, Jen's finishing things up with the kids and homework. I almost every night I go YouTube 20 minutes WWE shoot or WWE, you know, old school. So I see it every night.
A Vince doc coming out.
I know.
Did you see, do we talk about the Sopranos doc that's coming out?
We talked about
Is that this weekend, the David Chase thing?
Mm-hmm.
Might be. My buddy just sent me a text. I got to check
that
out.
Bogus, is it this week, do you know?
Couldn't tell you.
I think it's next weekend.
You're not a Sopranos guy?
No, I just don't know. Oh, okay. I don't know what the date is.
Well, then you're not a Sopranos guy.
We're going to have a battle. Well,
you
we don't know the date
are.
Either.
You don't know either.
But we know more about the Sopranos than you do to offset the fact that we don't know when it's coming.
Coming out. But yeah, I mean, look, if you don't have Peacock, you're not signing up for that, so you won't watch the game tonight.
I gotta delicately, because I'm going out tomorrow night, so I might just go out and watch it.
Where? Now, local establishment?
Yeah. Well, are you interested?
Here's the problem. Am I interested? Absolutely. Yes, I would love nothing more than to go right from work to the bar with you, hang out, get some apps, drink some surfside, some beers, whatever.
There'll be some beers back down, yeah.
But I can't. I'm married with a kid. I can't do it. I've been home all week.
You just said.
I know, but my wife's up, I think. And maybe if she's sleeping at 7:30, maybe she's still got, you know, the ill effects of COVID.
Yeah. Oh, well, there you go. Hey, honey, you need one more night of rest.
Yeah.
So, daddy's going
to
leave you alone.
If you go
one more night of isolation, honey.
Seriously, if you go out to a bar, let me know.
I probably am.
Yo, don't
tell me. I just pulled it into it unknowingly. I'm not even trying to make the guy's private life a mess. But, dude, you just switched on a dime. I want to hang out with my wife. He's like, going to the bar?
It's the same thing like last night. I didn't want to bet. I don't want to bet. The game starts. I'm betting the game. I can't help myself.
Sal, I got issues. He's a man of principle. Never deviates from his principles, that Sal.
I want to watch the game. I just feel like I can't.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.